At 10:14 p.m. on Friday, the department put out a note about the inability to reach consensus on the arms control, on the arms trade treaty, excuse me. And you said in the note that you supported the outcome, which of course was a failure to reach consensus. What did you not get, did the United States not get out of this negotiation that it wanted?
Well, again, apologies for making you work at 10:14 on a Friday night. As you may know, the negotiations on this treaty went relatively late in New York, so we wanted to make sure that we spoke to them when the negotiations concluded. What we supported was a decision to give this more time to get it right. As you know, this is a treaty that needs to be adopted by consensus. There was not consensus in New York. There were a number of countries who thought that more work needed to be done. That said, we did make considerable progress, and there was a commitment that the nations will come back early in the new year and try to conclude this treaty. What we want is further review, further refinement, in order to meet the high standards of a treaty that we could sign and that we were confident could receive the advice and consent of the U.S. Senate, that deals with the illegal use of small arms while allowing states and nations participating to implement their own national laws and to protect the rights of their citizens enshrined in their own national documents, including, in our case, the right to bear arms under the U.S. Constitution. So more work needs to be done, but we very much support the goals, and we think that rather than trying to jam a weak treaty, it's better to give it some more time and have consensus when we come back in January.
And why do you oppose it going to the General Assembly?
Well, again, we don't have consensus on the text, so you would be sending to the General Assembly, to the GA, a text that is disputed on a treaty that we all agreed would be adopted by consensus. So we think it'll be a stronger document if we keep working on it and try to get consensus.
But is your concern that the GA could approve a treaty or could approve a document by two-thirds majority, and that therefore any concerns, the residual concerns that the United States might have, might not be addressed as long as you get two-thirds of the countries involved to vote for it?
Again, we don't think the work of this body is finished, so why would we rush it to a vote in the GA, and particularly given the fact that a number of large countries, ourselves included, aren't ready to join on to the text?
And then last one for me on this, if I may. Did U.S. domestic politics, and notably the Second Amendment right to bear arms under the U.S. Constitution, did a domestic political calculation in any way affect your negotiating stance and your unwillingness to accept the current draft?
Well, that's not a political issue. That's a constitutional and legal issue in the United States. It's a matter of U.S. law. It's a matter of our founding principles. So obviously, as a nation, regardless of who's in charge of the nation, that has to be taken care of. But more broadly, we want a treaty that can stand up around the world and can deal with this problem. We have in the United States some of the highest standards in the world in terms of our regulations and our laws with regard to these issues, and we want to make sure that when we do this treaty, we do it right.
Can you explain what in the treaty was problematic with regards to the Second Amendment?
Well, I'm not going to get into the precise text under negotiation. That's obviously not something that we would do in a public forum. But what we want to do is ensure that the goal of this treaty, which is to ensure that small arms don't get into the wrong hands, is as tight as possible while being true to the laws of our own nation and the laws of other nations.
This treaty had been under negotiation for months and years. And during all that time, what, you just found out recently that there's something in there that might affect the Second Amendment?
No, this has been an issue all the way through, how to ensure, on the one hand, the strongest possible treaty with regard to the regulation of small arms, while ensuring that those states that do a good job of this don't have to change their own laws.
I don't understand what in an arms trade treaty how that affects the second U.S. national law and U.S. constitutional law.
Again,
where would the problems derive?
Well, you know, you're not a lawyer, I'm not a lawyer, but there are a number of legal issues involved whenever you do a treaty, and you have to ensure that as you negotiate these things, that they also comport with your existing laws and the existing rights of your citizens.
But there weren't too many other countries that came out and have lamented, or I shouldn't say that, there aren't too many other, well, I don't know of any other countries that are really saying they have problems with their national laws right now.
There are a number of other countries that weren't able to join consensus on this.
Well, there
text.
Was no. You can't join consensus if there isn't. I mean, if you're
again, who had issues with the text that need to be addressed, and we're going to keep working on it. What else we have, Said?